ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The Playlist.
However you're feeling tonight, whatever kind of stresses you've dealt with this week, by the end of this hour, I can almost guarantee you're going to be feeling a whole lot calmer. Because certain types of music can have that effect on our brain and our bodies. I'm talking about music like this. Now, don't drift off just yet, but I could certainly say I feel better already. That's called Gathering Dusk, and its composer Sophie Hutchings specialises in this peaceful style of music. And Sophie is here to share more of this kind of music that soothes the soul for us tonight. Now, Sophie is a classical pianist and composer who has released multiple albums and won ARIA awards for them. Her latest album is called Become the Sky, a meditative album that's made up of piano-led tracks, all recorded in a single take. Long-time nightlifers might also recall that Sophie has previously acted as our guide to the felt piano through the worlds of neoclassical music, as well as providing an excellent playlist to help us all sleep better. That was a few years ago, and the world has only become more hectic and intense, so we thought we could do with some more suggestions of therapeutic music from Sophie tonight. Sophie, welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks for having me, Greta. It's lovely to be here on a Saturday evening.
Wonderful to have you. Now, Sophie, the last time you were on Nightlife, you talked us through music to help people sleep. Now, tonight we don't want to send people to sleep. We want you to keep on listening to Nightlife, please, but we do want to delve into the world of calming music. What in a piece of music makes you calmer, would you say?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I mean, it's so amazing to have learnt what is actually going on in the background when we're listening to this sort of calming music. I guess it's like, you know, it's the fluid acoustic frequencies, the sustained tones. Often I find repetitive motifs and then soundscapes sitting underneath. When they're all melded together, it has this very gentle effect. And often, I mean, I didn't realize this before until I started looking into it, being an ambassador for World Sleep Day. I've learned a lot that, you know, studies have found that when we're listening to these gentle, repetitive tones and, you know, the beautiful overlays of this kind of wordless music a lot of the time, the brain starts to interpret these physiological signals as, you know, evidence that, you know, danger is past. And so it's signaling all these adrenal glands to just slow down. And so I guess it's the pensiveness in the music too. I think, you know, when we're listening to upbeat music, that's great. It has its time and its place. But when you're listening to this kind of the dulcet tones of this music, there's this kind of soothingness to it where the brain actually has time to process emotions instead of having to decode dense information, which we're continually doing.
Let's start with your selected tracks for tonight's playlist. And the first one is Dawn Chorus by John Hopkins.
Thank you.
That's Dawn Chorus by John Hopkins. Now, that's a really peaceful track and not a lot of different instrumentation, I'm guessing. I can hear piano. Mm. Yeah, and also, I can also hear the pedal almost.
I thought this was a nice soft launch to open the evening with this style. It's a very actually popular approach to my genre in the modern neoclassical or alternative classical, however you want to term it. But with this, you hear all that. And in my genre, it's very popular. We don't always do it, but with these particular very minimalistic, stripped back ambient piano tracks, it's very popular to use close miking techniques. And when you do this, it captures this great ambient room noise and you hear all the physical strokes to create that very intimate tactile atmosphere. It's almost like you feel like you're lying in the room. I get so moved by this style. It's incredibly warm and it's very popular in my genre it's all about the space. And I remember one of my favorite composers, Arvo Pärt, who once said, It's not how many notes you play, it's the way they're played. And you can hear that in this. This is actually a cover piece that John Hopkins did of Thom Yorke. But it's just very emotive in the space and you can really lean into the breath of the instrument. I often say when I use these close mic recording techniques, it's almost like you're diving into the heart and lungs of the piano. So it just feels very personal, I feel.
Let's talk a little bit more about your genre, the neoclassical genre. Mm. How would you describe your style within that genre?
We all struggle to describe the style, Greta. It's one of those, I would say, its roots are in classical, so the foundation sits on that, but we love to push the boundaries. We're genre hoppers, so we often steal from other genres, and it's all to do with there's no rules whatsoever. So it's all about embracing the emotion of music, whether that be cinematic, whether that be incorporating a little bit of dabbling in electronica and soundscapes, which I very much hugely lean into as well in my music. But it's all about breaking the rules pretty much. So I think if people like Erik Satie and Debussy were alive right now, I think they'd be leaning into new areas to advance music and heighten its emotions. And I think they'd love it. But neoclassical is basically, you know, every era has moved into these new kind of styles. And its roots are in classical, but it moves into more ambient territories.
Let's get a sense of your style with a track of yours, Back of Beyond. You're listening to Nightlife. It is the playlist for your music special tonight. And that was Back of Beyond by pianist and composer Sophie Hutchings. And Sophie is with us tonight. Sophie, I actually felt my entire body calming down listening to that. Is this process the same when you're writing music like that?
Not if you're in a big, high-pressure studio recording. But, yes, it's interesting, you know, often when I'm in the writing process, you go into that state of flow. So you actually lose complete thought, and it's not like you're not feeling anything. You actually, that's all you're doing. You're feeling, but you're not thinking. And being able to go into that state is probably when you're at your best writing, because you are completely unaware. And I think that's the beauty of this music, in that your thoughts can turn off, but you feel the intense emotions of things, which I think is very therapeutic. It's probably why I was always attracted to this music since my early childhood. It's just something very reassuring and emotive about it and comforting.
And I want to talk a little bit about this next track. You mentioned earlier about moving into new areas when it comes to the neoclassical genre. What about ambience? This is Adam Wiltse coming up with Lithium, the new era. Can you tell me about the role ambience plays?
Ambient music and neoclassical are very much like cousins. They cross a lot into each other's worlds. In fact, we all often collaborate with each other. There's an outfit that Adam Wiltse is a part of with the composer Dustin O'Halloran called A Wing Victory for the Sullen. And Dustin O'Halloran is more in my circle. Adam Wiltse is more in the ambient. I consider him ambient royalty. And, you know, think Brian Eno, that kind of, he's actually, you know, from that world. And so it's just, they layer very repetitive textures. And so when something is repetitive, it kind of puts your mood into quite a calm state. You've got that. It slowly builds, but it's in a very smooth, textured kind of way, which is why I lean to it for late night. And yeah, he's ambient royalty. You know, it's very hypnotic, slow breathing, kite repetition. It lulls you into this very quiet, spacious state of mind.
Let's have a listen. Adam Wiltse, Lithium, the new era. Adam Wiltse with Lithium, the new era, as part of our Saturday night playlist of calming music with pianist and composer Sophie Hutchings. Sophie, that sort of ambient music has grown a lot in popularity over recent years. What's your take on why?
We're living in an era of like endless notifications. Just, I think people agree, we just got this overload of sensory clutter, the fast-paced media. It just keeps our nervous systems in this very perpetual state of micro-alertness. We can't switch off. And you think of the parasympathetic system, which is supposed to kind of, it's like a little lever in our brain. It stays open when we need to be alert, but it's supposed to wind down at certain times of the day. And I think a lot of ours isn't. It's just staying open. And so I noticed particularly like throughout COVID, my genre of music exploded. I think it emotionally anchors you. So there's just this soothingness about it. And, you know, I often think of it like, I mean, I don't know what, are you any good at practicing mindfulness, Greta?
Oh, no. I mean, I try. I really do try, but it takes extra effort.
I'm terrible at it. I've tried and my brain just scatters off in different directions. And I've learned through all the research with this music, it's almost like it practices mindfulness for you because you've got these things going on in the background where, you know, your cortisol levels start to go down, but, you know, the good hormones start to increase, you know, your dopamine, your oxytocin, your blood levels, your stress levels, your heart rate. So there's something in the space and the tone of this kind of wordless music that kind of gives our nervous system a complete reset. And as I said before, it's not like you're not feeling, but it's just stopping the thought processes that are continually rearing in the background that we get very exhausted by.
And music like this really does help to achieve that mindfulness if you struggle with it a little bit. But, you know, it's nothing new, because let's delve into a little classical music next.
This is one that I've chosen that most of the playlist tonight is, well, all of it's modern except for this one. Puccini, Madame Butterfly. I mean, this was written in 1904, but it's absolutely timeless. And this is, I chose this piece because it's one of my most all-time favorite pieces. But I also love, I'm a huge fan of choral arrangements. This comes from the late Romantic era, but there's something about wordless vocal textures and the voice as a human instrument, which I use a little bit in my music as well. It just, this piece always puts a lump in my throat.
Puccini with the humming chorus from Madame Butterfly. Sophie Hutchings is with me, pianist and composer, for our Saturday night playlist of calming music that she's put together. Oh, Sophie, that one was just beautiful. I can see why you love those choral arrangements, not necessarily with words, but just the layering of sounds.
Yeah, so that's what I love about the human voice purely as an instrument, and it's just, you know, stripping away the text and the narrative, and it's just you can sort of see, like, listening to that piece before by Adam Wiltse, Lithium, The New Era, and then you've got this kind of choral arrangement written in 1904, but you can see the like-mindedness with all this music in there, that there's something melancholy about it, yet really deeply reassuring at the same time. And so all of this just feels really timeless and so relatable for our human nature. I think that's why I love it so much.
If you're just joining us, welcome. It's great to have you here. We're currently floating away in the blissful world of ambient new classical music with pianist and composer Sophie Hutchings, who has put together a playlist of her favourite dreamy tracks for us tonight.
Let's talk about that wordlessness in these calming ambient arrangements. How important do you think it is to, you know, sort of have that lack of lyrics, discernible lyrics? Are we more drawn in when we're not being told something by a singer or a vocalist, would you say?
I guess from my genre, I'm a little biased with that. I guess everything has its place, but I think that's the power of this music. It's so interpretive. So you're not having to sit there digesting what the narrative is behind the piece, which, you know, listening to some incredible poets like Leonard Cohen or Bob Dylan, I mean, they're so powerful, those lyrics, and they have their place. But there's something about just purely digesting the emotional power of this music that can sit right within us. And it's a very personal journey. You can be, I find it's like a universal language. You know, sometimes we find it so hard to express what we're feeling. And I think music replaces those words very often. And, you know, living in such a kind of crazy world that we live in now, it's the one thing that unifies us, this kind of music. You can be from anywhere, but the emotional beauty in the piece is just something that we all relate to. And it gives our brain a breather.
Yeah, I like that universal language. And speaking of, your next piece is, well, let's hear it. It's a composer from Iceland, Johan Johansson, with A Sparrow Alighted Upon Our Shoulder.
Thank you.
That was Johan Johansson, A Sparrow Alighted Upon Our Shoulder. Now, Sophie, we were talking about the emotional power of neoclassical ambient music.
Cute example. I'm sitting here trying not to cry.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. How does it make you feel?
Johan Johansson is, I would say, the modern classical saint of music. And I guess this is a perfect example of, you know, in an age of growing AI, we're all terrified of it, because it takes away the human aspect. And this is something that you cannot take away in music, the humanly emotive, raw feel of real instruments being played by real humans with a beating heart. Like when you've got a beating heart behind the person playing it, you can feel that raw sense of emotion. I actually have a very distinct memory of, with this piece, I was walking through the CBD of Sydney with my headphones on. Sadly, Johan Johansson's not with us anymore. And I was listening to that very track right around the time he passed away, before the news had broken out or reached most of the world, which is quite uncanny, really. But I think that's why that piece has held a very deeply quiet, sacred space for me, because he was one of, one of my earliest discoveries in the modern composer world, and a very beautiful human soul as well.
Well, look, it's not just neoclassical that makes you feel that way. I do have a similar memory of being on a bus in London, hearing that George Michael had passed away, and I was such a big fan, and listening to One More Try and just that song, where it's very lonely and, oh, poor George. That got me. But
it's something about that we're getting all melancholy, aren't we? But it's something in the musical connection, you know, it does something to humans in the way that it connects us. And maybe that's why when you're on the bus, or I was walking through the city and you're listening to the huge emotional power of that music. But the beautiful side of that is they remain a legacy for years to come.
Certainly. And I also want to know, what were you trying to make people feel when you composed this next track? It's By Night.
Oh, right. Yeah, this one where I've chosen is actually a rearrangement by Voces 8. They're an incredibly amazing and well-respected sounds very conservative. They're huge, actually. So I was completely honoured when they approached me to do a cover of my piece, By Night. I don't know why By Night has been one of my most popular streamed pieces. It very much resonates with people. Again, there's that repetitive motif, which is, it was all composed with piano strings, and actually my father debuts on it with oboe. I love oboe. This is a choral arrangement. I'm fascinated by the human voice as an instrument. And so they did this extraordinary version with vocals. And I very much remember the first time when they sent me the arrangement, I was just... Yeah, I teared up straight away, and I guess having the emotional tie to the piece that I had written as well, which is, you know, very much based around, like I said, just piano and very up-close strings, the string arrangement in my original piece of By Night. But this is a vocal version, a choral arrangement version.
Oh, I can't wait. Let's hear Voces 8 arrangement of By Night by Sophie Hutchins. That was Voces 8 arrangement of By Night by Sophie Hutchins. You're listening to Nightlife. Greta Lee Jackson with you, and Sophie is with me for tonight's playlist of calming music. Sophie, that was otherworldly and just incredible. And Voces 8 are pretty popular. They've been going for a while now.
Oh, it's stunning. I actually love your description of otherworldly. Yeah, they did this whole, I think the album's called Infinity. I'm trying to remember, but they approached just a whole bunch of composers from around the globe, and they decided to approach an Australian composer way down under, myself. And then there was they also did John Hopkins, who we started the opening track on, Oliver Arnold's. Yeah, they did all these beautiful renditions of modern classical composers. So hearing those piano lines translated into this lush breathing wall of vocal harmony is just so moving throughout the entire album.
Well, we started with a cover, a Thom Yorke cover. He's come up a few times, even though we haven't heard him tonight. But let's finish with one, Sophie. This is a song that's experienced a recent surge in, a resurgence, I guess you would say, in popularity. It's Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill, but it's not Kate Bush.
This is by a harpist. She's a label buddy of mine. She's played on my music before. She's incredible, Lara Samoji. And what I love about Lara is this sort of otherworldly, fantasiacal harp sound, but Lara has this very brilliant modern alternative take on the instrument. So she uses pedals and electronic textures to really completely expand what the instrument can do. And as a massive Kate Bush fan myself, when she did this cover of Running Up That Hill, I was like, oh, I love the harp. I love the otherworldly tone of it. And then she's just done this beautiful rendition of an iconic piece that most of us love.
Lara Samoji's cover of Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. Sophie, that is just sublime.
A nice one to go out with, hey?
It really makes you realise the complexity of songs that we might already be familiar with and not realise all the different elements going on that bring that song alive.
I mean, each composer, it's different. I never really like to map out solid plans, so I would say it's very accidental, and there is, but, you know, after creating a larger, more sonically laid album, I always return to something more intimate, which is what I my latest album, Become the Sky, is, which I actually affectionately call my Sleepy Sister albums because they're very different in nature. They're a lot more simplistic and stripped back, which actually sometimes is definitely more of a challenge for me. The space in the music can sometimes be presented as you have to rearrange your thoughts to have that approach. But as you say, it's, you know, the complexities probably come from the complexities of my own emotions. So they just come out. It's sort of like, I don't know, creative people, like someone who's a poet or someone who splashes paint on a canvas. It's abstract or it's realism. I think it all comes out in, for me, it's a way of saying something without words. So it's a form of expression. And I really love when people express their own personal sentiments. I get such beautiful messages sent to me via my contact page or, you know, socials, where people that explain their own personal experiences, whether it be giving birth or doctors performing surgery or going through a really anxious time in their life.
Well, Sophie, I can use words to express how I'm feeling right now, and it's very calm, and I'm sure those listening at home would agree with me. And in terms of messages you get about the impact of your music on people, I'm getting a lot of them, and I will read some of those out shortly. But I do want to say to you a sincere thank you for sharing this wonderful playlist of calming music.
I love sharing it with the world. It's very, that's the beauty of it. It's very interactive. So it's been a pleasure to be here and share it with the world.
Thank you so much for joining Nightlife, Sophie.
Thanks, Greta.
And here is one from Sophie's album, Become the Sky. It is The Gathering Dusk. Thank you.
That was The Gathering Dusk by pianist and composer and my guest for the playlist tonight, Sophie Hutchings, from her new album, Beyond the Sky. If you would like to get your hands on that Spotify playlist, text playlist to 0467 922 702 and Jason will send it to you. And if you'd like to catch Sophie live, she is performing a couple of shows before going on tour in Europe. The Sydney show is sold out, but you can still grab a ticket to her Melbourne show on Sunday, the 6th of September at Tempo Rubato. Just head to her website, sophiehutchings.com.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.